fast note before we get started today. Please know this podcast may contain content that may be disturbing to some listeners. All opinions expressed are that of the individual and are not meant as a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice. We advise reading the show notes for more detailed description before you listen to this podcast. Remember, mental health matters. Please take good care of yourself. Hello and welcome. It's Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti here. Thank you for joining us for the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. Each week, we'll be talking to individuals who believe that they have had messages from the other side. So interesting to hear as we all share our time together, still here. Welcome. We are here today with a creative soul. We have Deborah from Calgary. She is an artist and musician. Hello, Deborah. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tammy. Great to be here.
I was talking earlier about life on the other side, and you said that you maybe have some experiences that you might be able to share with us. Did you have some people in your life close to you that have passed?
Yes, I have, actually. It's been a few years now, but the first person to cross over to the other side was my brother. It was quite unexpected. He was only 43 and he died suddenly of a heart attack on the beach in Mexico when he was there for a holiday. And so, interestingly enough, I was speaking with my best friend on the phone the one day and my other line went, and it was my parents calling me to tell me about my brother having passed. It was funny because I was talking with her about him when I got that call. That was the first time I had someone that I lost someone close, because sibling is close because there's a bond between siblings, and once one is gone, it's very difficult.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that. My brother is only a year and a three quarters, a year and a half or so younger than I am. And same thing. What was the age difference between you and your brother?
Only 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tremendous loss. Absolutely. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And you lost your brother too?
Yes.
I think the first time a person goes through the grieving process, it's very intense and it's all uncharted territory. It really, really took a lot out of me for quite a while. I found that I wasn't myself for a long time after that. I think it also makes us examine our own life, puts us in touch with our own mortality, which can be challenging because we don't always think about that every day until we're faced with a situation.
It's one of those things that it's the two guarantees in life, right? Death and taxes. We know that it's coming, but usually we don't spend our time focusing on that.
No, that's right. And then I lost a friend who was only 60. She passed from ALS about 2 years after her diagnosis. And so that was the first of close friends that were passing. And then I had more recently my father, which of course isn't that unexpected when it's a parent who's elderly. It is difficult because we just never think that people are going to leave.
It's true. It's true. And then that brings us to the other question of, did they actually leave? Did you have communication with them when they passed to the other side? Any examples of that from your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had quite a few experiences. Some of them are just small little things and other ones are bigger things. So what really stands out to me is, like, I had a piano student, an adult piano student, is actually a medium as well. So when I would go to her place for her lessons, she'd be able to see who was around me all the time. And it seemed that I was always traveling with a bit of an entourage, you know. And there was one time that my grandmother took up most of her, like took up an hour and a half of time telling this woman, passing messages on to me. really nothing too profound, just things that would be, you know, important to me, right? And then at one point, my brother had come through her, sent me messages, different ones. He said that I was supposed to do a painting of an eagle and that it was supposed to be called A Time to Shine. I didn't have any details on what it was supposed to look like, so I just had to figure that out. So I did do the painting. He was giving messages different times to her. When my father died, I was in sort of this meditation with a practitioner. My father had only died 2 days before that, and I was in this session, and suddenly, like, well, she was asking me, could I see him or anything? What I did see was I saw like an iron railing. Behind it was flames, and I'm not sure what that was at first. And then I realized that session was right at the time when he was being cremated. The communication I had with him was basically that he didn't know where to go. I don't think it had kind of sunk into him that he had crossed over. He needed to know. He was confused. He didn't know where to go. And so I told him to follow the light. I mean, I don't know what else to say, right? That was kind of profound. To me, I didn't really agree with being cremated so quickly. Like, I didn't agree that it should be before 3 days, but people will do what people will do. That was interesting to know that he was there. Now, since then, I get little messages. For example, about a month ago, I went to the park and I was sitting there. It almost sounded like my own voice, but was it my voice or was it another voice saying to me, don't put your phone down there. You're going to forget it. And I said, okay. And I must have picked it up again and taken a picture of something and set it down again. And I was tired. And even with that message, I went to the car and I drove about 5 minutes away. And then I realized I didn't have my phone. And so I drove back to the park and there was already these two gals sitting on the bench. And as I approached, they said, did you forget your phone? And I said, yes. Even with that message, like, why wasn't I even listening or paying attention?
Part of the problem, we miss the messages because we're too busy up in our own heads or questioning where they're coming from.
True enough.
Do you have other examples of connections from the other side?
Well, there's just been a lot of, I feel like they're around me a lot. My grandmother's around me a lot. And my brother and my father are around me a lot. I had gotten messages from my grandmother previously, even before my brother and father passed away. I was getting messages that she was trying to help me get my art to where it was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the worst problem I have is getting in my own way and sometimes not listening to the messages when they come through, or like rationalizing it or saying, oh, that's probably nothing.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people find that same thing.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason for this. It can't be them from the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of little, small nuances, I guess you could say. They're around. And I guess if we tune in, we can see them or hear them.
Right. So if you were to give advice to somebody on how to tune in, what advice would you offer them?
Well, I mean, I do a lot of meditation and have a lot of quiet time and that sort of thing. Not everyone's like that. I just find I need that time to be in touch with where I am, if someone's around or if there's a message to come through. I never was good at automatic writing or anything. Some people can do that. I'm quite psychic, intuitive, so I get messages more like that. If you really do want to get in touch with somebody, sometimes a medium is a helpful thing. Like for me, it happens sort of I happen to know this person, you know, right. And it happened kind of naturally. Mm-hmm. Because there's never a guarantee that they're going to be able to reach who you want. I think it takes an enormous amount of energy for them to come through.
For sure. So what kind of meditation would you normally do? Just sit and be quiet or follow your breath, or what do you do?
Yeah, just I do yoga and meditation, and I do Qigong too. So I guess just getting in touch with myself, the higher forces, which is easy to do when you spend a lot of time by yourself, easier.
There was one thing that you would say that helped you along your grieving journey. What would that be?
I don't know if it was one thing. I think there was a series of things. I did go to grief counseling after my brother. What I found was it brought up a lot of things about me, and if there was anything in my life that wasn't resolved or needed to be looked at, the grieving process will bring that up for some people, like it did for me anyway.
Right. Did you find the grieving counseling helpful?
Yeah, I did actually, because it was kind of a group, but also you had individual thing too. And I was in a group of people who had lost siblings. It was good because you could see the commonalities with the others. And also if you haven't lost anyone close to you, you don't really know how you're going to move forward at all until you think about it and do whatever you feel you need to do. For me, I needed to go to this grief counseling because I needed to see where I was at in that. It took a long time to process it.
It's all the different layers that don't happen, like step by step by step. They're all over the place. And we call the waves of grief are some days really big and sometimes just tiny ripples.
Well, I think, too, what I learned there was not everybody grieves the same. We have to give space to people to grieve the way it works for them. I like to spend a lot of time on my own, I guess. That helped me to process it. Mm-hmm.
If there was one takeaway from going to grief counseling, what would that takeaway be? Something others might find helpful?
Well, life goes on. And when we're grieving, it's really hard to get on with our life. I was the older sister. That was hard because it was, why is this person young and leaving? And I'm still here. So I think a lot of that got rolled into my own motivation in life to move forward because I still could. People who have passed cannot. There's also this pressure to say, am I doing enough? I've got this chance to do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's why I entitled this podcast, I'm Still Here, because not only are our loved ones still here in the background somewhere, we are still here. And it's exactly that. How do we move forward when we have to go through all of these experiences?
Yes. Letting go in a soft way is good so that you can do what it is that you're here to do. And for everybody, that's going to be different, of course.
We're so grateful that Deborah has taken some time to speak with us today. One of the things that she has just brought up is this whole idea of going for grief counseling. It's interesting, isn't it? If there's something going on with our car, we know that we have to take it to a mechanic. If there's something going on with our computer, we know that we need to get tech help. Why is it that so many don't think the same thing about their own mind? Sometimes we need the help. So whether that be going to a counselor, or even just having a cup of coffee or tea with a good friend. In today's world, you might even just hop on a Zoom call with someone and be able to communicate in that fashion. But communication is so vitally important whenever we're going through anything that is a struggle in our lives. Just keeping that in mind as you work through your life experience, there is nothing wrong at all with going to seek help. And if that help includes counseling, be that in a group format or on an individual basis, that it's actually showing strength rather than being a weakness. Sometimes we just do need help. Again, think about your car, think about your computer. How can your mind be any different than those other things that we definitely take care of on a constant basis? Back to Deborah.
For me, it's doing a lot of creative stuff here. and maybe passing a message on through that. It takes a long time.
Yeah, this state of allowing.
Yeah. Yeah, because it takes the most, creating something doesn't take a long time. It's all the stuff that leads up to it that takes so long, and clearing a path, making yourself a channel for what needs to come out.
Speaking of that, Deborah, is there someplace online that people can find you if they wanted to look at your art, hear your music?
I have everything on one website right now. I'm thinking of changing that soon, but for the time being, I'm at deborah-robinson.com. That's deborah-robinson.com. Yeah, so I have everything that I do there, mostly.
Perfect. Like I said, you're a creative soul, so you have a lot of different things on the go. I looked at your website and you've got a lot of different things and all look very wonderful.
Thank you.
So thank you for spending time with us today. I do appreciate you sharing your information and a portion of your journey. I think it's very valuable for people to hear that they're not alone in their experience. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Tammy. And I will look forward to hearing some of your other guests too.
It's great. Thank you.
We are so grateful for our guests for sharing their time with us and sharing their experiences. It's wonderful to know that we're not alone, and it's so great to hear that even though our loved ones have passed, that they are still here with connections, albeit different from before. Be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please email me. We're also grateful to Kevin McLeod and to Computech for sharing this wonderful background music entitled Happy Dreams. Thank you for sharing your time with us. May you enjoy your time still being here.